Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. And I'm going to start today's conversation by issuing an apology. I just did not, Josh and I talked at the end of last episode. We talked about, oh my, we went a little bit long. So if you were sitting out in the parking lot at work and I made you late, I am so sorry. Tell your boss to forgive me. If you brushed your teeth for an extra minute yesterday, I guess I'm not really sorry about that. But anyway, I'm just sorry we went a minute or two over yesterday. But it's such a great section, Josh.
Yeah, it really was. You get two long-winded preachers together, then that's kind of what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen. But verse 12 is the verse that we're on today. We're right in the middle of the last chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's been a great book. It's a book that I recommend to new believers because these are people that are young in faith, that are just vibrant and desirous of knowing all that God has for them. They have that first love attitude. I just love it. Here in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So, verses that the Apostle Paul includes that deal with our attitude toward our church leadership. So, to know them, to esteem them, what does this mean? We are to know those which labor among us. We're to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Doesn't this seem a little bit self-serving? The Apostle Paul is one of the leaders here. Doesn't it seem like, hey, you guys really need to really appreciate me? I mean, what's going on here?
Right. I think it could come across that way. Of course, we know that that's not the Apostle Paul's intention here. As you stated earlier, this is a letter that's written to somewhat new Christians. And so they need to understand how they should relate to their leaders. But I love what Paul says there in verse number 12 as he's introducing this section, because he really says here at the beginning, hey, those that labor among you. Okay, so in other words, leaders are going to be servants. And so these people ought to realize that they ought to know there's a knowledge there that they have of their leadership. But also, hey, those that are really going to be good leaders for you, they're going to be servants and they're going to serve right alongside you.
No, that's good. Matter of fact, let's look at the verbs. A lot of times, guys, when you're studying your Bible, the way to break it down first, I would say, is look at the verbs. The verbs are going to tell you the action or the condition of the sentence in a way that you're going to be able to then parse out the other parts of it. So start with the verbs. So the Bible says, verse 12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them." So the first verb that Paul introduces when it comes to our leadership is to know them. So when the Bible says to know them here, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to have knowledge of them in some kind of a trivial pursuit way. Mm. Like, okay, know them which labor among you. So that means we need to know their complete biography, and I need to know my pastor's birthday, and I want to know the youth pastor's favorite color and favorite ice cream. And
although that's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing. By the way, what is your favorite ice cream, Josh?
Oh, chocolate chip cookie dough, for sure.
Just so you know, if you're one of the teens listening, there you go. And I know you like Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Absolutely.
So there we go. But that's not what this is talking about. To know them which labor among you, we would use the word today, acknowledge, to acknowledge them which labor among you. So acknowledge them. Because I want you to think about something, Josh. So the Apostle Paul had gone to Thessalonica. There was no church. There was no church there. So he arrives in town with Timothy, with Silas. Luke presumably stayed back in Philippi. Right. So he arrives in town. They begin teaching at the synagogue. People begin to trust Christ as Savior. They begin to gather together in small groups. They're meeting in places like Jason's house. A church is being formed. Well, the obvious leader of that church is Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He comes with apostolic authority. He has knowledge and Christian maturity. Nobody argues with his leadership or his ability to lead, but then he's taken away.
Right.
So now you have a fledgling group of believers that are leaderless. So somebody has to fill that leadership vacuum. Well, what would be the tendency?
Yeah, the tendency would be to question and say, well, who do you think you are to become our leader? Or do you even have the credentials or the ability to lead us in the way that you ought to lead us?
Right. So it's important to acknowledge those existing leaders, mm-hmm. to say, I acknowledge that this is the one whom God, for his purposes, has raised up to lead. It doesn't make him better
right.
than somebody else. It
right.
doesn't mean that he's more spiritual necessarily, but he's somebody whom God has appointed. So we've got to recognize or acknowledge the existing leader. I would say that to each one of you in your local church. Your pastor is not perfect. Your pastoral team, your leadership at your church, they're not sinless in that sense. But it's important to acknowledge existing leaders. The writer of Hebrews was careful to point that out, to obey them, which have the rule over you. And that's not in a dictatorial sense. That's not in a my way or the highway sense. But there is something to be said for the spiritual authority that God has vested in a leader in the local church, or, for instance, a husband and a dad in the home, or a governmental authority. Those are the institutions God ordained, government, the family, really the family, government, and the
right.
local church. So in every one of God's ordained institution, there's an authority structure. It doesn't mean that people are better than others. There's an equality as far as value among people in the family, in the church, and in government. But God uses people to lead people, and we need to submit and acknowledge that. That's the point.
Yeah, I think even of Paul's exhortation to Timothy, hey, let no man despise thy youth, because there is that tendency there for a young or a fledgling leader to be despised by others, somebody who maybe doesn't have the same credentials or doesn't have the same experience that another leader does. And so as I come under one of those leaders, then I have a responsibility to know them, as we've talked about here in this passage.
Yeah, and so I would say acknowledge existing leaders, acknowledge emerging leaders.
That's good.
Recognize people whom God is raising up even in your assembly to lead in various ways. If you stay in a local church long enough, sometimes that pesky teenager ends up becoming a youth pastor one day, or even the pastor of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be my testimony. And nobody would have thought that this kind of off-kilter kid at age 15 would end up being a pastor one day. So we need to learn to recognize how God's working in people's lives. But then the second verb that I wanted to hit on today in our text is that one in verse 13, where the Bible says we're to esteem them. We would say value our local church leaders. And then the Bible tells us how. Value them very highly. So that's one superlative, in love for their work's sake. So we're to value the leaders in our local church, not because of their personality, not because we like them more than we like somebody else, or because we feel like we gel, or some other modern psychological term. No, we're to value them for their work's sake, for what God has required them to do and to accomplish. So I think if you go back to verse 12, you'll find out what their work is. So let's break that down, Josh.
Yeah.
So verse 12, what is the work of the leader in the local church? Well, the Bible says they labor among you. So I would say first of all, the work of the leader is work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
he ought to labor. So we ought to acknowledge people that are laboring. There's no place in the Bible for a lazy pastor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think that as Paul mentions this twice in two verses, hey, they labor among you, honor them or esteem them very highly for their work's sake. It's very obvious that, man, the pastorate is not a place to be lazy.
And I think the laboring is given definition in 1 Timothy 5, where it says, let the elders be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in the doctrine. So pastors ought not be throwing together messages or just, you know, downloading the sermon. I mean, this needs to be a labor, the labor of preparing scripture-laced messages, the labor of loving and praying for people. And so we ought to value our leadership because they are to labor. So not only value them for their labor, but then the Bible says in verse 12, and they are over you in the Lord. Now, that sounds almost haughty. I'm over you. You're under me. But that's not the tenor of the passage at all. It's not that I'm better than you. Over refers to oversight.
Right.
I'm accountable.
Yeah.
So I guess my question, Josh, is it a comforting thought to know that you're accountable for the spiritual welfare of other people?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a comforting thought. It's definitely a sobering thought, and one that I have to realize, man, that just how important my labor then becomes. Because if I'm accountable for the oversight, the spiritual oversight of the people that God has given me the opportunity to minister to, I have a great responsibility to be a student of the Word of God.
James said it this way: be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or greater accountability. So value your local church leaders because they work hard, and they ought to. Value your local church leaders because they have to answer to God for people like you and me. And so, wow, that's a tall order. So we need to value, esteem them very highly in love. For their labor, for their oversight. But then the third one, and we'll just close with this in verse 12, and they admonish you. So part of the job of leadership is to tell you things you don't want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
So who wants to be that guy? Who wants to be the guy whose job it is to tell people things they don't want to hear?
Yeah, now here's the comforting thought to me, though, in that admonishment idea is that as long as I'm taking it from God's word, then it's not me that's saying it. You know, it's God. It's God that's saying it. But still, there's a great responsibility there that I have to stand in a pulpit and to preach what God has given through his word.
Yeah, and sometimes after the sermon, the people don't come to me and say, well, listen, I know that was just God speaking. And,
right,
and
yeah.
So it is difficult sometimes to tell people what they don't want to hear. I want to be the guy that whose job it is, take the big old Reader's Digest clearinghouse sweepstakes check.
Yeah, yeah.
Knock on someone's door and say, hey, you just won $14 million.
Always fun to be that guy.
Always fun to be the bearer of good news. It's never easy to lovingly confront people, warn them. That's what admonish means.
Yeah.
Tell them what they perhaps don't want to hear but need to hear. But that's being a parent. That's being a pastor. That's being a godly leader. So we need to learn to value people that work hard in our local church, that embrace the oversight, because that's a thankless job sometimes to have to be the one that, I mean, the dorm supervisor.
Yeah.
that's a thankless job, the oversight, and then to have to tell people things they don't want to hear. Well, we need to value that. Could I just say this, my friends? If you're a young person and you have a mom and dad that work hard, they take their responsibility to be your parent seriously, and they tell you things sometimes that you don't want to hear, you ought to thank God for them. And if you are a church member and you have a pastor like that, or a pastoral team, maybe you're in a larger church, you have a pastoral team, whatever the case, boy, if you have leaders in your life that work hard, that take their oversight responsibility seriously and tell you things that you need to hear that you don't always want to hear, that's a good leader. And you ought to value them in love for that very reason. And then the last thought we have there, Josh, and I'm just going to say it because we're out of time. Then the Bible says, and be at peace with yourselves. You know, that another good thing you can do for your leader, not just acknowledge him, not just esteem him, but get along with other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because one of the greatest detriments to leadership is having to put out all these fires between. It's like a parent that all he does is break up fights with the kids. He can't even begin to be proactive in his parenting if all I'm doing is settling disputes. One of the best things you can do for your leader at work, at home, and at church is to learn how to get along with other people.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that tomorrow, but I want to keep my word and keep this down to a reasonable length today. So thanks for joining us. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.